begin here on the top of Yom HaMadalach, 11 lines down. The Gemara is continuing to tell the story of the nations complaining that they didn't have a fair chance at trying out so that they could get the rewards that Klal Yisrael were also granted. And now, Hashem, so far we have rejected all of their claims. Now we're up to Elakach Omrim Aubde Kochavim Lifnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu. This is their claim, Ribono Shel Olam, Israel Shekiblua Heichan Kaimua. Okay, you say the Jews accepted the Torah. Who says that they kept the Torah? So why do they have any advantage over us? Amalei HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Ani Meid Bem Shekimu Et HaTorah Kula. I'll testify to the fact that they kept the whole Torah. Omrim Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam Klum Yesh Av Shemeid Al Bno. Is there ever a father who can't testify for a child? Because Dichtiv Bni Bichori Israel, that Israel is my eldest child, your relative, you can't testify on their behalf. This goes back to what we discussed in Baba Batra and other places, that the psul of Krovim is not an issue of trustworthiness, it's a Gzeir Takatuv. And here too, of course, Baruch Hu will be disqualified from the case simply because he is a Karov and not because of lack of trustworthiness. The heavens and the earth will testify to the fact that they were keeping the Torah. Omrim lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, Shemayim Varetz Nogim Be'edutan. They have a bias in the matter. Shenemar, because of the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Im lo briti yomam v'layla, Chukot Shemayim Varetz lo samti. If it was not for my covenant of day and night, then the laws of the heavens and earth I would not have put in place. So Rashi over here tells us, the Gemara darshins in other places, which Im lo briti yom v'layla, briti, which is the covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Israel, that is Noheg Yomam V'Layla. And he says from the Pasuk in Yoshua, which is Vigita Bo Yomam V'Layla, so that's a reference to the Torah. So the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says that there's a conditional relationship. Im lo briti Yomam V'Layla, was it not for the Limud HaTorah, or the Torah itself, Chukot Shemayim V'Aretz Lo Samti, then I wouldn't have put in place the laws of nature. The Shemayim V'Aretz wouldn't exist unless there is Kiyum HaTorah. Ve'amar Rishim Ben Lakish, Ma'idichtiv. What is meant by the Pasuk in Breshit Vayerev, Vayvoker Yom HaShishi? So the HaShishi is different than any of the other days in the fact that it has a Hey HaYidiyah at the beginning of it. And Malameid, Shitna Kodesh Baruch Hu Masib Breshit, Kodesh Baruch Hu put a condition in the creation, Vamar, Im Yisrael Mikabalim Et Torati Mutab, if Bnei Yisrael accept my Torah, everything's fine. Vim Lav, if not, Ani Akzir Etchem L'Tova Bo, I'll set everything back to nothingness. So you see here that they are Nogeya Badavar, because if Bnei Yisrael are not keeping the Torah, the Shemayim Varets are gone. So then how can they come and testify on behalf of Bnei Yisrael when they are dependent on Klal Yisrael? Now the Yom HaShishi is a drosha. Either Rashi brings over here from the Hei HaYidiyah HaShishi, the sixth, and the sixth is the sixth of Sivan, when the Torah was given. The Baal Yom Tosafot already raised the issue that it's a machloket in the Gemara and Shabbat as to whether the Torah was given on the sixth of Sivan or on the seventh of Sivan. According to the one who says the seventh of Sivan, it's a little problematic that it's HaShishi. The Tosafot says that even according to one who says the seventh of Sivan, they were ra'uli to get it on the sixth of Sivan, except that Moshe pushed it out an extra day. So it would have been the sixth of Sivan, but Moshe postponed it a day. And so really, HaShishi would have worked according to Baal Yom Tosafot. Rashi on Chumash brings that HaShishi, the Hey, references to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and that's why it says HaShishi, and that's the connection, not the Hey HaYidiyah, rather the numeric value of Hey, which is Chamesha Chumshei Torah. That would also work for the one who says that it was on the seventh of Sivan. The other thing Tosafot points out is, why isn't it by definition, if the Shemayim V'Aretz are still around, isn't that by itself evidence of the fact that they're keeping the Torah? Because if there's this correlation or connection between them, that if you keep my Briti, Yomam V'Layla, then you have Chukot Shemayim V'Aretz. So the mere existence of Shemayim V'Aretz should be evidence of the fact. So Baal Yom Tosafot suggests over here that the condition was in the acceptance of the Torah, not necessarily the keeping of the Torah. And Bnei Yisrael accepted the Torah, so then Shemayim V'Aretz are in place. That doesn't mean that there is an ongoing correlation which says that if they don't keep the Torah, then Shemayim V'Aretz would disappear, and therefore it would not be evidence of the fact that they are keeping the Torah. So now the Gemara says, "May dichtiv," or the way that the in Yaakov has it, it's Vamar. Vamar Chizki Ma'idichtiv Mishemayim Hishmata Din Eretz Yara Veshakata. from the heavens, you made your laws known. Eretz Yarah, the land was full of fear. Vishakata, and then it subsided, or then it was quiet. Im Yarah, if it was fearful, if it was trembling, Lama Shakata, then why is it now subsided? Why is it now quiet? Vim Shakata, Lama Yarah. And if it's quiet, then why is it fearful? Ela Bitchila Yarah, Olubisov Shakata. In the beginning, there was this trepidation. In the end, everything was calmed. That's also a reinforcement of what we said before, was that there was this fear that Bnei Israel would not accept the Torah, and then everything would fall apart and be returned to Tohu Vavohu, and that's the Yara. Once Bnei Israel accepted the Torah, then it was the Shakata, things calmed down, and we were able to move forward from there. Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikem Yavohu V'Ya'idu Bahem B'Yisrael. I'll bring from amongst you people who will be witnesses, Shikaimu et Torah Kula, that Bnei Israel themselves kept the entire Torah. Yavon Nimrod v'yaid v'Abraham shlo avad avodat kochavim. Nimrod should come and testify on behalf of Abraham that he did not worship avodah zarah. This is a reference to the Midrash about Ur Kasdim, that Nimrod wanted to throw Abraham into the Kibshan HaEsh because he destroyed all the islands, and then he throws him in and Abraham survives being thrown into the fire. And so Nimrod could testify about the fact that Abraham did not worship avodah zarah. Rashi over here notes that the avot are chayav in the Shiva mitzvot b'nei Noach, because they have the classification as b'nei Noach. And one of the mitzvot b'nei Noach is avodat kochavim. Yavo Lavan v'yaid b'Yaakov shlo nechshad al hagazel. Lavan should come and testify on behalf of Yaakov that he didn't steal anything from him. He had complete integrity in the work that he had done for him. Again, that's another one of the mitzvot b'nei Noach. And Lavan can testify to the fact that Yaakov kept it. As it says, by Lavan, v'yichapes v'lo matzah. And Yaakov says to him, "Kimi shashtet kol kelai, ma matzata mikol b'lei beitecha." Sit out, put out everything that you found, and Laban has nothing to show for all the searching that he did in the possessions of Yaakov. Tavo eshet Potifera v'ta'id v'Yosef shelo nechshad al ha'aveira. And then the eshet Potifar should come and testify on behalf of Yosef that he didn't get involved in gilui arayot. So here once again, one of the shiva mitzvot b'nei Noach, especially given that Eshet Ish exists for B'nai Noah. The fact that Yosef refused to sleep with the wife of Potiphar is indicative of the fact that he kept that mitzvah. Also, it's Eshet Potiphara, which is interesting over here, because that is conflating two names in the Chumash, which is that the problem that he had was with Eshet Potiphar. Later on, he marries Osnat Bat Potiphara. The Midrash conflates the two and says that Potiphar and Potiphar are the same, but the truth is that they could be two different individuals, and that Yosef's wife could have been Bat Potiphar, and the problem that he had could have been with Eshet Potiphar. Here you see the Gemara saying Eshet Potiphar, which indicates the two are conflated. Yavo Nebuchadnezzar v'yayid b'chananya Mishael v'Azariah shlo yishtachavu l'tzelem. And then Nebuchadnezzar can come and testify on behalf of Hananya, Mishael v'Azariah that they did not bow down to the Tzelem. Over here, this raises a number of issues. Again, we discussed in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, which is what exactly was the problem with regards to Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. Tosafot here brings that Gemara as well, where the Gemara says, had they given them Malkot, they would have bowed down to the Tzelem. Tosafot is perplexed by that. How could it be that if they were given Malkot, that they would bow down to a Tzelem, when we know that that's one of the issues that you have to be Yehareg v'al Yavor? If you're dealing with Avodah Zarah, you don't have a choice like that. And people suffered tremendous or terrible torture and still did not give in. You see Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion. So what do you mean Hananya, Mishael v'Azariah would have given in? From here, Tosafot makes the claim that the Tzelem that we're speaking about here was not Avodah Zarah. Rather, it was just a statue of the king. Their refusal to bow down to it was not because of Avodah Zarah, but rather it was that they felt it was inappropriate, or that the people would learn from them, and it would be problematic. And so he says that they were not actually bowing down, or the possibility of bowing down to Avodah Zarah. And he points out that the language is mukhrach in this, because here it says that they did not bow down to the Tzelem, whereas by Avram Avinu it says that did not worship Avodat Kochavim. So you see there's a distinction between Avram Avinu, which was dealing with Avodah Zarah, and over here, Hananya, Mishael v'Azariah, which is dealing with the Tzelem. Then that's one thing. The other thing to note is that there is then also a progression where we're dealing with Avodah Zarah and all these basic mitzvot, And then you get to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who are going lifnim mishurat adin. That they're lifnim mishurat adin, they're refusing to bow down to the tzelem of the king or to the statue of the king because they felt it was inappropriate. And again, they are upholding the Torah, not just in the simplest of ways, but even in a way that is beyond the letter of the law. Yavo Daryavish, v'yayid b'Daniel shlo bitel et tefillah. Daryavish could testify to the fact that Daniel kept davening, because even after Daryavish puts the decree in that no one's allowed to pray, nobody's allowed to daven, Daniel goes ahead and prays, and then he's caught. He didn't try to hide so much, but he is caught and then thrown into the Gov HaRayot, he's thrown into the lion's den because of the decree of Daryavish. So here you know that he kept on davening despite that decree. And once again, this is not something that we call Mi'ikar halacha, this is something that's an extension beyond the basic laws that we're talking about. That he didn't nullify tefillah is to his credit. Yavo b'dara shuchi, tzofar ha'na'amati, b'lifaz ha'teimani, v'ya'idu b'hem b'Yisrael shikimu et ha'Torah kula. And they can come and testify to the fact that the Jews kept all of the Torah, shenemar, so this is the pasuk actually we quoted yesterday, idnu edehem v'itzdaku, that they will give their testimony and vindicate them or justify them. Idnu edehem is that the non-Jews will testify on behalf of Bnei Israel and vindicate them or show that they didn't keep the Torah. Over here in the list of individuals, these are the friends of Eov that are found in Eov. You can see that there's one of them in parentheses. Rashi over here takes it out because in the Gemara in Baba Batra, Elihu ben Brachel Abuzi is considered to be Jewish. In the Gemara in Baba Batra. And he says here, we're speaking about non-Jews are testifying, and therefore Elihu would not be the right person. On the other hand, there are others who want to say that you could put it back in, and then the listing of the individuals as well is not in the order in which they appear in Eov. And he says, Orcha de Talmudah Barbei Mekamot, the lo kapid limnot kiseder. That many times the Gemara is not makbid to list things in the order that you would expect. And he shows from a Mishnah and from other places that they're not so makbid on that. Amru lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, Zeu lanu meirosh v'nasena. Give us a second chance, basically. Let's start fresh. Give us something to do, and we'll do it. Amru lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu shotim shebaolam. Mi shetarach b'erev Shabbat, yuchal b'Shabbat. The one who works on Erev Shabbat, he'll eat on Shabbat. Mi shelo tarach b'erev Shabbat, meichan yuchal b'Shabbat. You don't prepare before Shabbat, you're not going to have anything to eat on Shabbat. Ela. Afa b'kein, nevertheless, despite what I'm telling you, mitzvah kala yeshli, I have this small mitzvah, the sukkah shema, that's the mitzvah of sukkah, l'chul vasu ota. Go ahead and engage in it, I want to see if you guys can hold up on it. Umi matzid amar dachi, how can a Kodesh Baruch Hu offer them this opportunity? V'hama Rav Yeshua ben Levi, ma'idichtiv, what is meant by the pasuk? V'shamarta et ha-mitzvah ve'et ha-chukim ve'et ha-mishpatim, kasher anochi mitzavecha hayom la'asutam, that the pasuk says that I command you these laws to do them, hayom la'asutam, to do them today, and the Gemara dashes from that, hayom la'asutam, v'lo la'machar la'asutam, the asiyah is for today, and not in for the later time, hayom la'asutam, v'lo yom li'tal sechar, that today you do them, and you only get the sechar, latid lavo. So here you have two statements. One is that olam hazeh is the time to do. Olam haba is the time that you get rewarded. You can't do in olam haba. That's similar to the mashal that we saw before of Erev Shabbat and Shabbat. You can't show up on Shabbat and expect to prepare things and to do things. You can't show up at olam haba and say to God, give us a chance to do things. The doing time and the preparation time is in olam hazeh. And that might relate to the olam hagashmi versus the olam haruchani, which is that the olam hagashmi is subject to change, to alteration, the ability to make changes and improve or even degrade things. Whereas the olam haruchani is a static place, and therefore you can't change what exists in olam haruchani. The olam hagashmi gives you the ability to influence the olam haruchani. That's both when we speak about doing mitzvot, how you have some connection that creates some ruchani thing above, or we don't know what strings we're pulling. But that all happens when you are gashmi. Once you are ruchani, you're in a static state. And for that reason, ayom lasutam, you can only do things in this world, you can't do things the olam haba, number one. Number two is also that you can only do things in this world and get the reward in the next world, because otherwise, there would be no bechira chofshit. If reward was immediate, then punishment was immediate, then it would be very easy to know what you had to do and what you couldn't do, and people would be compliant, not because of Bechira Chafshit, because of their free will, but because they're compelled by the punishment and reward. So by definition, it has to be a yom lasutam, and then the machar litos charam, otherwise you lose bechira chofshit. Ella. So even so, even given what Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba bitronia im briotav. Hashem does not act imperiously with his creation. He does not act dictatorially with his people. So he's not going to impose on them. He wants to give them a chance to see why they're in their predicament that they are. And that he's not going to just say, this is it, this is the rule, and this is what's going to happen. Meaning that even though Hashem knows he's right and he's justified his position, he still wants his subjects or the people being adjudicated to feel that they also had a fair trial. And so therefore he's giving them the opportunity to also sense why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has come to this conclusion. V'amai karilei mitzvah kala. Why did Hashem call the mitzvah sukkah some light or small mitzvah? Shum delepe chisaron kis. Because it doesn't cost anything to make a sukkah. You make a sukkah of anything, especially in their day, where the sukkah was one of the huts or operations that they used during the harvest. They used to put up the huts in the fields to work during the harvest. And so you had huts that already existed that could be used as sukkot. And beyond that, when they're bringing the harvest in, and the psolet agorin ve'yekev, as the Torah says, can be thrown on top of the sukkah to make the sukkah. So it's not something that really costs so much or is a big expenditure to do it. People were probably doing it anyway. And beyond doing it anyway, it's also the psolet that they're using to put on as the schach. So it's not much of an investment in terms of making the sukkah. And sukkot and sukkah in general is appropriate to involve the other nations because on sukkot itself, we bring the 70 parim, which the Gemara in Sukkah says is connected to the shivim amim. The Bnei Yisrael themselves provides protection and tefillah and goodness to the other nations through the holiday of Sukkot. So there is a strong connection of the holiday Sukkot to the other nations as well. Therefore, the mitzvah Sukkah would be appropriate for the other nations to engage in it. And the mitzvah Sukkah is also appropriate the Atid Lavo, because the mitzvah of Sukkah, the Sukkah itself lacks a God, and therefore it is the Hashkafic antithesis of Gog and Magog, which is the nation that will fight against Israel in that time period. And therefore, hashkafically, the mitzvah of Sukkah is the anti-Gog or anti-Gog mitzvah. And therefore, Hashem gives them the mitzvah of Sukkah, which represents that time period, Latid Lavo, when the Gog and Magog is already defeated. And everyone recognizes the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's why the Sukkah is the most appropriate mitzvah, where a Sukkah does not have a Gog. Where one is under tzila de'emnuta, one is under the protection or the auspices or the gag of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Sukkah, as opposed to Gog and Magog, we have this hashkafa or thesis of Gog that they can protect themselves and they put a barrier between themselves and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the mitzvah of Sukkah is appropriate for them to demonstrate their allegiance to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and their recognition that there is no Gog and that the only Gog is really a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Biad, kol echad v'echad notel v'olech v'oseh sukkah v'rosh kago. Then everybody goes and builds their sukkah on the roofs of their houses. Kodesh Baruch Hu magdir aleihem chama b'tkufat tamuz. Then Hashem brings out and bears down on them with the sun in tkufat tamuz. Tkufat tamuz is the summertime. It's from the summer solstice until the autumnal equinox. That's the tkufat tamuz. That's that season, which is the hottest time of the year. So he has it bear down on them with the sun and hot. And each one of them gives a swift kick and leaves the sukkah, meaning they reject this mitzvah sukkah. It was too much for them, being in the heat out in the sukkah. Let's break their bonds and throw them away and cast away their ropes from us. The pasuk says in Tehillim that they will cut off the cords that bind them, and then they will cast away the ropes. The Marsha says the Mosrot are remez to the strings that they use to tie up the walls, and the Avot are a reference to the Schach, which is from the Pasuk in Nehemiah, Vale Eitz Avot Asot Schach, Kekatuv, that they use Eitz Avot. Others use the Eitz Avot to speak about the Dalet Minim, and to say that the Mosrot Teimo is a reference to the Sukkah, and the Avot, or Avotot, is a reference to the Dalet Minim. So that's the idea here, that they throw away the mitzvah, or they reject the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to them. Perek and Tehillim. This is the second pasuk, but the pasuk speaking about the nations and the foreign kings, how they are throwing away what God has bound them by, and they are rejecting Hashem. And you see that here, that they are tearing away or breaking away from that which Hashem gave them. Makdir v'hamart inakadosh baruch hu ba bitronya imbriotav. Why did Hashem bring out this piercing sun, this sun that's bearing down on them, if Hashem is not imperious with His creation? The whole point here was to give them a chance. Now He gives them the chance and makes it so hard that they have to reject it. Mishum d'Yisrael nami. Because the Jews sometimes face the same problem. Zimne d'mash kalohu t'kufa tavuz ad chaga. Sometimes the summer season persists all the way into Chagas Sukkot v'avalohu tzaro. And Bnei Yisrael suffer the same fate in the Sukkah, which is that the sun is beating down on them, or it's very hot during Sukkot. We know from the Gemarot of Sanhedrin that one has to have the Tkufat Tammuz end during Sukkot, and that you have to switch over or flip over to the autumnal time period after the equinox. It either has to be beforehand, you have to hit what's called Tkufat Tishrei before Chag HaSukkot, but you have up to, all the way the last day of Sukkot, which is up to Shmini Atzeret, can still be part of Tkufat Tammuz, and it only has to be that Shmini Atzeret is in Tkufat Tishrei, and that's considered to be okay. So there are time periods where the summer is still during Sukkot, and Bnei Yisrael are under that beating down sun. And they are therefore under duress or difficult conditions that make them uncomfortable. Mar says, V'amarava mitztayer patur min ha-sukkah. Then we have a principle that someone who is suffering, uncomfortable, unable to be in the sukkah, that is patur min ha-sukkah. So over here, if you say the heat is so extreme, then Bnei Yisrael would be patur from the sukkah. Why wouldn't the goyim also be patur from the sukkah in this case? So it says, Nehi de patur biute mi mavate. Even if you are patur from sukkah, who says that you have to leave in such a dismissive manner to kick it over and to reject it outright? It's one thing to say I'm patur min sukkah. It's another way to kick the sukkah and reject the sukkah that way. And that's why Bnei Yisrael, when they're mitzvah, maybe they're patur. But the goyim, when they're mitzvah, instead of being patur, they kick it over and reject and act in a manner that was unbecoming in towards the mitzvah. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to demonstrate to them, that their attitude towards the Tzivui Hashem is so problematic versus the attitude that Bnei Yisrael has. Miad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev u'mesachek aleihem. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits down and has fun or enjoys what's happened to them. Shnemar yoshev ha-shamayim yischak, Hashem ilag lamo. The one who sits up in the heavens shall laugh. And of course, Baruch Hu will look at them derisively. Again, it's the next pasuk in that quote from Tehillim that we said before about Ninatka et Masrei Teimo. So right after it says that Hashem sits down, Yitzchak, and he laughs. Right? He enjoys himself. Amrei Yitzchak, ain't schok lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu el oto yom vilvad. Hashem does not laugh, Hashem does not rejoice, except for that day alone. Ige demane lehad Reb Yitzchak aha. Some have this member of Reb Yitzchak said on this following statement. In the future, the non-Jews are going to come and convert. Oh, Mimi Kablinim and Nayu. Wait a minute. What are they doing converting? Latid Lavo in Zman Mashiach. We don't accept them. Vatanya. Emi Kablim Gerim the Mota Mashiach. We do not accept Gerim converts in the time of Mashiach. Kiyotsebo. And similar to that, Loki blue gerim, lobi me David, lobi me Shlomo. They also did not accept gerim or converts during the time of David and Shlomo because Bnei Yisrael are ascendant. Problem when Bnei Yisrael are ascendant is that we assume the people are joining because they want the benefits of being a part of this successful and ascendant nation. What we want is that the gerim join us when things are not looking so good for the Jews, because then it's a real test of whether they are honestly coming to convert or they're just converting for the benefits. So the test is, if they come and join us when things are looking down, when things aren't good, that you know is an eger tzedek, eger emet. On the other hand, if they're coming when there's lots of wealth and things are going well, then it's very difficult to know whether they have ulterior motives or they're really coming because they want to be eger tzedek. For that reason, we do not accept gerim when Bnei Yisrael are ascended. So here the writer gives examples of Yemot Mashiach in the time of David and Shlomo. Elo shenasu gerim, Grurim. They became converts of their own volition. That's what the way Rashi translates it. that they started to keep the mitzvot without ever going through a proper conversion process. Menichim tefillin b'roshehem, tefillin b'zrotehem, tefillin on the rosh, tefillin on the arms, tzitzit b'bigdehem, they're wearing tzitzit in their clothing, mezuzah b'tutkehem, they put up a mezuzah. So here you see they basically voluntarily become Jews, and they do what Jews do, so they convert themselves in a sense. Now, there are other Rishonim who indicate that there was a conversion here, but the conversions were done by, called kangaroo courts. They were done by courts of Hejutot, who don't know the halacha, and they converted them anyway. So now, with regards to that, we say the conversion went through, even though it was inappropriate by these courts, and then we wait and see. And if they are really truly true converts, or if they go back to their old ways, we're much more cautious in terms of those converts. The Rambam brings this concept down with regards to trying to explain the problem of people like Shimshon, who married a non-Jewish woman, Shlomo, who has non-Jewish wives, and maybe even David HaMelech, depending on what you think of Macha, that were not Jewish. And the Rambam says a similar concept there, which is that they were converted maybe inappropriately, or they were partially converted. So there is a problem in their conversion. Nevertheless, we accept those converts when their conversions are problematic, but we give a little arm's length distance from them to determine whether they really are Geri Tzedek or not. And over here, assuming that that's the case, we wait and see, and what happens is, Kevin Shroi Milchemet Gog Umagog, once they see the difficulties of the war of Gog Umagog, Omer Lehem, Ama Batem, each one of these Gerim asks them, meaning Gog Umagog, Ama Batem, why'd you guys come? Omrim Lo, and the Gog Umagog, or the troops of Gog Umagog, respond to that Ger, Al Hashem, Al Mishicho, to attack Hashem and its Mashiach. On the other hand, the Rasha changes the Girsa, which helps the Gemara to flow a little better, which is, Omrim Lahem Amabatem. These Gerim say to Gog Umagog, why have you come? And then Omrim Lahem, they say back to them, Gog Umagog says back to these Gerim, Al Hashem Ba'al Mishicho, to fight against Hashem and his Mishicho. Shinemar, Lamarog Shugoyim Ulumim Yegurik. So here's the first pasuk from that Perek in Tehillim, which is, why did the nation gather in rage and the people mutter in vain? That's why they end up rejecting everything. They see the Gog Magog's coming to attack them, and it looks like this great army is going to defeat Bnei Yisrael and the Mashiach, their fair-weather friends, and they take off. Things aren't looking up anymore, and therefore they walk away from those things that they did voluntarily. They all throw off their mitzvot, meaning that they reject the tefillin and the talit and everything that they're doing. Shneamar. They throw off their ropes and their strings and things that bind them. I don't know if they're taking it literally, like the binding of tefillin and the tying of the strings of the tzitzit. And you can see that in the Balei Tosafot. They quote from the Yushalmi that Moser Toimo is tefillin and Avotemo is tzitzit. Or it's more figurative, which is the things that bind them. They throw off the chains, quote-unquote, which are the tzivium of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Hashem sits there and laughs. Again, that's the Pasuk Gimel there, that the Pasuk afterwards, which is that Hashem sitting in the Shemaim and laughing about the fact that they all wanted to come convert because of Hashem and Mishicho. And as soon as things got a little difficult, they're throwing it up and they're bailing out. So that's exactly this concept. It's not so different than the concept that was brought out by the Braita, which is that we don't accept Gerim when Bnei Yisrael are ascendant because of exactly this problem. They are fair-weather friends. And so as soon as things go bad, they're going to leave because their conversion is not a true conversion. Amrei Yitzchak, Ein lo Kodesh Baruch Hu skok el oto yom bilvad. And this is where we have Rabbi Yitzchak's statement made on this laughing. On that day alone, that's when Hashem laughs. Ini, is that really true? Ba'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, 12 shaot avi ayom. The day is 12 hours long. Shalosh arishonot. The first 3 hours of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosev Ve'osek B'Torah. Hashem is engaged in Torah because that's the blueprint of the world. That is the purpose of the world. Shniot Yosev V'Danat Olam Kulo. In the next 3 hours, he sits and judges the entire world. So if you look at the Torah as the blueprint of the world, then the din that Hashem brings in the next 3 hours is to see or match up the blueprint to what's actually happening. And if things are going awry, then we say try to straighten them out, punish some people, reward some people. try to make adjustments on the chessboard so things work out the way we wanted them based on the blueprint of the Torah. And Rashi says this is a reference to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi in Rosh Hashanah, who says that Adam Nidon b'chol yom, Yotiv Devar Yom b'yomo. So this idea or concept that Hashem is Danot Olomo kol yom goes to that position of Rabbi Yossi, that we are judged every day, as opposed to the opposing shita there that says that we are judged for Rosh Hashanah, Matiyah Kol Hashanah. And so this is following that opinion that there is a judgment daily, although obviously you could reconcile that even the one who says that we are judged from Rosh Hashanah, nevertheless, you could say that there are daily adjustments that need to be made based on the individual's reaction and response to different things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had planned, or the change in their behavior over the year. And similarly, the Baal Tosafot there in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah also say the reason we daven every day and say Rifa'enu and Barech Aleinu and ask for all these items is based on the Shita of Rabbi Yossi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Danet Olamo B'chol Yom. And therefore there's a reason to daven because things can't be changed on a given day. And obviously there as well, you could explain it even according to the other position. But it's interesting to note that Rashi over here notes Rabbi Yossi and Baal Tosafot over there also note Rabbi Yossi explaining both this agarata and our daily practice of davening. It's interesting over here, Tosafot brings over here, Yeshomrim, k'dekach diknu b'kdushat musaf. For that reason, in the kedusha musaf, they have lomar mimkomo hu yifein, that Hashem should turn from his place. Kistam musaf bishniot ba. Because musaf usually is davened during the second set of 3 hours during the day. V'hazu yoshev v'dan. At that time, Hashem is sitting on his kisei of din, and therefore we want him to go mukolo yifein berachamim, that he should move from the kisei adin to the kisei harachamim. And that's why they put that in kedusha of musaf on Shabbat for that reason. And Tosafot says ve'ein nira. Says I don't think that's right. So again, first of all, according to what we're going to say further on in the Gemara, that in the beginning or the early part of the day, he's done. It won't work out. Because then you're saying to me they daven musaf later, and now you're telling me they daven musaf earlier. It's not going to work out. Ela, vadai matbeya shel tefillah kahu. That is the formulation of the tefillah. It's not about the hours, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the nusach that the Chazal wanted to be there. And that's the nusach that we say, nothing to do with this agadata that we have over here. Then, kevin shuresh nitchayev olam kluo klaya. So once HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that the whole world is deserving of being wiped out, he moves from the kisei of judgment to the kisei of mercy. That's what Tosafot was referring to. Maybe that's what's meant in Mimkomo Yifein Berachamim, that is a reference to this, or a veiled reference to this agadata. Shlishiot, in the third, Yoshev Zanet Olam Kulo, he goes and takes care and sustains the whole world, takes care of all of his briot, Mikarnei Re'emim Ad Beitzei Kinim, from either a horned oryx or a horned buffalo, which means a very large animal. That's the concept that's being presented over here. And then the opposite is the Beitzei Kinim, which is a tiny animal. You would have thought it means lice or the eggs of the lice, but Rashi claims that Beitzei Kinim is a species in itself that's called Beitzei Kinim. Dakim Haim, they're very small, which he translates as Inba or Lintris. The idea being that Hashem provides from the big creature all the way down to the smallest creature. Hashem takes care of everyone. Riviot, Yeshevi Misachek, Im Leviathan. And in the fourth set of 3 hours, he sits and he plays around with the Leviathan. Shnemar, Leviathan, Ze Yatzarta, Lisachek Bo. That you created the Leviathan in order to play around with it. Obviously this is not in reality, this is a lashon of a mashal. And that's the question that's being asked over here. If you say that he only laughs, only plays around on that day, why is he mimisachek leviathan every day in the fourth set of 3 hours? Avnach v'yitzchak, im briotav misachek, ve'al briotav enu misachek, el oto yom vilvad, except on that day. Very fine distinction that we many times make, which is that, so it's one thing to laugh with someone, it's another thing to laugh at someone. And that's what it says here. Hashem laughs or plays around or enjoys with his creation, but he does not laugh at his creation for their failures, for their sins, for their inability to succeed. The Rashi explains that it just means that Hashem doesn't laugh at the averot or the mistakes and the trip-ups that people have. Whereas the Marsha suggests that Hashem celebrates with a person's successes and his gains, but Hashem does not celebrate on his downfalls and things that happen to him that are negative, except on that day. And the reason being, in both stories where he brought up Rabbi Yitzchak, the reason being is that these people are making a plea to say, you got to give us a chance. You gave B'nai Yisrael a chance, give us a chance. And when given the chance, even though it was beyond Midat HaDin, he gave them the chance, they blow it very quickly, and they're unable to sustain it. And the other way around, where they become these Geirim and convert and say they're loyal to Hashem and His Mashiach, and as soon as the going gets tough, they take off. So Hashem again laughs at that, that these people are our fair-weather friends. By the time that the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, there is no laughter before Hashem. We find this many times in the Gemara, that the Churban HaBayit not only affected us, but affected HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, which is that the purpose of the world is to be Mashresh Kinato, for people to recognize God. And obviously, the destruction of the Bayit is a huge Chilul Hashem. And from the Midrashim that you see in the Gemara in Gittin with regards to Titus going in there, stabbing the parochet and having it bleed, it is clear, Chilul Hashem, where Titus thinks he's killed the God of Israel and that he's now overcome the God of Israel. So you see that there's a huge Chilul Hashem and it has impact on Hashem as well. Amale miyumin yalan, deleka schok. How do you know that that's the case? If you say, because it's Vayikra Hashem l'kim tzvakot v'yomahu l'b'chi u'l'mispeid l'korcha v'lachgor tzak, where Yeshayahu says about the Churban HaBayit, that Hashem calls for that day for there to be crying and eulogizing and the pulling out the hair, Dilma ha'uyoma, that's maybe on that day, but too long, not more than that. Who says that's a sustained way of being or a sustained condition that we're in? Ela dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Imeshkachek Yerushalayim tishkach yimini, tikbach l'shoni l'chiki, imlo ezkirechi, imlo yalet Yerushalayim arosh simchati, that there is no chance for rejoicing. And as Tosafot says over here, pashtrei dekrakach, the simple reading of the pasuk is, Imeshkachek Yerushalayim, if we forget Yerushalayim, shidnashir shir Hashem alad menechar, because we will sing the song of Hashem on the foreign land. Tishkach yimini milenagein bechinor. Then my yimini will stop having the capacity or the dexterity to play the harp. Tidbak l'shoni chiki, my tongue should stick to my palate. Imertzel l'shorer v'peh, if I want to sing orally. Imlo ezkerechi, if I do not remember you. So the way that Tosafot does it is he interpolates the psukim of Al Narot Bavel, where it says there that how could we sing the sing of Hashem on a foreign land? And that's what the context of the pasuk is. That if I forget Yerushalayim, and therefore I'm willing to sing on the foreign land, then tishkach yimini, I should forget how to play the instrument. I mean, I shouldn't be granted the right to play the instrument if I forget that. And same thing about tibach l'shani l'chiki, that my tongue should stick to its palate if I'm willing to sing the song of Hashem. If I don't remember Yerushalayim, so Dilma Shikhahu Daleka Avoskok Miyayika. Maybe there's no forgetting about Yerushalayim, but there's still some laughter and some playfulness. Elameha. It's from here. Hechashete Meolam. I was silenced forever. Acharish. I will be still. Etapak. And I will be restrained. So you see there that Hashem is in a state of being withheld or restrained once there was Churban HaBayit, because of the fact that this tremendous Chilul Hashem pushes the Shekhinah out of the world. Now Hashem has to hold himself back because he can't engage with the world and he can't be playful, he can't rejoice. And again, this correlates with the Gemara in Brachot that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bemoans the fact that he destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, and that goes along with when Bnei Yisrael say, Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach, that Hashem at that time is upset about the fact that he did that Chilul Hashem when Bnei Yisrael here are trying to create a Kiddush Hashem. Biviot Mayovit. So after the Churban, when Hashem is no longer Mitzachek, so then what does he do with that fourth set of 3 hours? Yoshev Umelamei Tinokot Shabbat Rabban Torah. He teaches the youngsters Torah. Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, they have Torah for Parshat Shemot. Et mi yoredeya. Who will teach knowledge? And who will explain that which is being heard? those that are weaned from milk and removed from the breast, that doesn't make sense. Those aren't the people you're going to teach. On the other hand, the Gemara is reading it not as a rhetorical question, but rather as a statement of fact. The mi, yoredeya, ulumi yavin shmoa, mulech mechalav uleatike mishamayim. So that is that Hashem will teach them. It's not asked in a rhetorical manner, but rather as a statement that Hashem is teaching those, and those are the individuals that Hashem teaches. So instead of reading it as a question, and mi yoredeya, mi yavin shmoa, mulech chalav atike mishadayim, so that says, the mi yoredeya, to who will Hashem teach knowledge? The mi yavin shmoa, who will explain those memro to? Mulech chalav, uleatike mishadayim. So before Hashem got involved, before the Korban HaBayit, when Hashem was playing around with the Ibyatan, who taught these youngsters? Ibaidemo Mitachron is a malach who replaces a Kadosh Baruch Hu in many instances. It's not clear what his exact role is or how it relates to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but that is manifest in the Midrashim when Kadosh Baruch Hu says after the Chet HaEgel, that I'm no longer going to be with you, I'm going to send my malach with you, which is the malach Mitachron. That comes up a lot over there. Some say that Hashem did both. He was playing around with the Leviathan and also teaching the youngsters. And so he did both of those in the fourth hour. Post the Korban, he stopped playing around with the Leviathan. Rashi over here claims that the Gemulei Chalav over here, Shemetu Kashen Ketanim, they passed away when they were youngsters. So the youngsters we're speaking about here are not youngsters who are alive. The youngsters had passed away when they were very young. And then, of course, Baruch was teaching them Torah because they died too young to have learned Torah. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who say that the Gemulei Chalav are really the youngsters. They're youngsters who are so pure and so tahor because of the fact that they're so young, before their Yetzer Hara come to them, before they have any of these evil thoughts, that purity allows them to have a Kodesh Baruch with them, teach them Torah. And that's what we say that Yom Shepasach Nebuah Mishrael, from the time that Nevuah left Bnei Yisrael, the Gemara in Sotah tells us that it went to the Tinokot and the Shotim. So again, the Tinokot here are reference to this because they are pure. And because they have nothing evil or negative about them, they can be a vessel for the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means over here, that Hashem teaches them Torah. B'leil Yamai Ovid, what does God do at night? That was in the 12 hours of the day. What does He do at night? Ibai Deima Me'en Yom Mama. Does the same thing that he does during the day, does at night. He rides on his light cherub, and he floats around in his 18,000 worlds. That the chariot of God is ribotayim, which is 20,000. Alfei shin'an. And there are 2,000 angels. Adigra shin'an, don't read it as shin'an, which is a refer to angels, ela she'enan, that they don't exist. So if you take 20,000 minus alfei, which is the plural of 1,000, 2,000 are missing. So it's 20,000 minus 2,000, which is 18,000. Or some say that he sits and listens to the song from the chayot, shenemar, yomam yitzaveh Hashem chazdo, that Hashem during the day commands his chesed, and at night, his song is with me. Imi is with me, meaning im David HaMelech. So now, the way Rashi interprets this is, if you say, Laila Shiro Imi, ubalaila noheg Shiro Imi, lamata, that at night, the song is also down below. She'af David lo yam min namneim, elekeshinat asus. This is from the Gemara in Brachot, that David only used to doze off like that of a horse. And all night he was engaged in singing and praise and Torah. So here, Rashi suggests that David Shira is joining the Shira of the Chayot, whether that means that he was also hearing the Shira, or that he was also producing the same Shira, and that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is listening to. Others should say, Ubalayla Shiro Imi, it's not a reference to David Shira, but rather to the reference to the Shira of the Chayot. Amar Rabbi Levi called Poseg Midivrei Torah, Poseg Midivrei Sicha. Anyone who leaves learning Torah and engages in idle chatter, Machilin Lo Gachalei Ritamim. They feed him coals of Ritamim. Shneamar, Hakotfim Maluach. Those that scrape off the moss, Alei Siach, that comes up or grows on the trees. V'shoresh ritamim lachmam. And the root of the rotem, which is translated maybe as juniper, lachmam, is their food or their eating. So here, the Gemara is learning from that. At kofim aluach, you have two possibilities Rashi gives. One is kofim aluach is they cut off miluach. Luach are the luchota brit. The one who cuts off the luchota brit, alesiach, in order to speak about something else, idle chatter, then ritam shorish ritamim lachmam. Then the rotem will be their bread. That's one way to read it. Or a kotfim aluach could also be moisture. The one who cuts off the moisture, the life force, which is Torah, alei siach, and they get involved with siach, then again they'll be fed ritamim. And coals, or gechalei ritamim, are because the ritamim were used to burn the wood of the rotem in order to make coals, and they were very hot coals. So that's what it means, gechalei ritamim. Amar Reish Lakish, kolosek b'Torah b'layla, anybody who engages in Torah at night, Hashem puts a string of chesed upon him on the day. The way Rashi translated it is, that he has a certain grace in the eyes of the people because of the Torah that he engaged with at night. Then he has this additional chain that is associated with him during the day. So the Marsha says that despite his appearance, or his demeanor that you would have expected from being up all night, nevertheless, he has chut shel chesed mashuch aleha. So their appearance would not be affected by the fact that they were learning all night or engaged in Torah all night. And that actually would then work with the other midrash that says something like this, which is Esther yirok roket haita. That Esther really was greenish tint or a yellowish tint to her, but Hashem put a chut shel chesed on her, that she had a certain grace that people didn't notice. Remember that Esther was fasting for 3 days before she went into Achashverosh. Somebody who fasts for 3 days doesn't look so good. And that again there, her appearance was Yirak Roket, as the Gemara says in Megillah, but there was a Chut Shel Chesed of Hashem. And if you learn it the way David just explained this as well, it would be similar in nature. Person stays up all night, maybe they're groggy, cranky, their face reflects it. Here, Chut Shel Chesed, Hashem will grant them a certain grace that will help them to overcome that. Shenemar, Yomam Yitzaveh Hashem Chasdo, Ubalayla Shiro Imi. That during the day Hashem commands his chesed, which is Ubalayla Shiro Imi, and at night his song is with me. Matam Yomam Yitzaveh Hashem Chasdo. What is the reason that Hashem will put chesed on this person during the day? Mishum Dalayla Shiro Imi. Because his song is with me at night, which is interesting because the Imi here is a reference to David HaMelech, and that's why Rashi had to give that interpretation, is because David is the one who's speaking here. But they're changing it that Hashem is the one speaking the Pasuk and saying Shiro Imi. Because his song is with me, therefore, Yitzaveh Hashem Chasdo, Hashem gives out the Chesed. Others, like the Meiri, suggest that anybody who's engaged in Torah at night, Hashem gives them a Chut Shel Chesed, that they answer the questions appropriately, meaning that they pasken properly during the day. Yigad Amrei. Anyone who engages in Torah in this world, which is like night, which is similar to the day, Shnemar, Yomam Yitzveh Hashem Chasdo. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmo. My dichtiv. What is meant by the Pasuk? Taseh Adam Kidgeayam, Kiremes Lomo Shel Bo. And you make man like the fish of the sea, like the creepy crawly things that have no ruler over them. Lama nimshlu bnei adam kidgeayam. Why are people compared to the fish of the sea? Lomecha madagim shviyam kem sholim liyabasham yad mitim. To tell you, just like the fish, as soon as they come up on dry land, they die. Af bnei adam kem shporshin midivrei Torah umin hamitzvot miyad mitim. So as a person leaves Torah and mitzvot, he immediately dies. That is the mashal that Rabbi Kiva gives when they ask him, why are you teaching Torah in public after it was outlawed? And he says, we know that if the fish that's in the water, that's their place of survival. As soon as you take them out of the water, they're not going to survive. And so too, Klal Yisrael with Torah, that's an essential part of Klal Yisrael's survival is Torah. And if we stop teaching Torah, if we stop engaging in Torah, then miyad meitim. Doesn't make sense. And therefore he continues to teach Torah. Devar acher madagim shiyam kemin shikdeira adehem chama miyad meitim. The dagim shiyam, once the sun penetrates or beats on them, they die immediately. So do an individual, if the sun beats on him or penetrates or pierces him, they will die right away. that second version, some say was said about Olam Hazeh, some say about Olam Haba. Everything is in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the exception of Tzinim Pachim. Ray Rashi says it is Tzinim Pachim are, Tzinim are colds, and Pachim is fever. Shnemar, Tzinim Pachim, the thorns and snares, Biderech Ikesh, are on the perverse way. Shomer Nafsho, Yerchak Mayem. The one who wants to watch out for himself will distance himself from them. And so here, if you learn that Tzinim and Pachim mean colds and fevers, that means it's in your control to distance yourself from them. And that way, Tosafot explains it is, Kol Amirot HaBal Adam Midei Yom Yom Midei Shemayim, that everything that happens to a person every day is in the hands of heaven. Ben Adam Yechol L'Cherkik Nafsho Mayim, and you don't have an ability to stop it. If there's sickness or certain things that are going to happen, all of those are Bidei Shemayim. You don't have a choice. You have to deal with it. You have to work through it and do the best that you can. But Tzinim Pachim is something where you have it, it's in your own control, or something that you can do. You can put on a jacket to warm yourself up. You can take the proper precautions so that you don't get sick in these ways. And as Tosafot notes here and other places in Jas, that is distinct from HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyirat Shemayim. That memra is said about the tchunot, or the character traits that a person is born with. There's a Kol Bidei Shemayim, all the endowments that a person has and all the gifts and skills and deficits that the person has, they're born with that, and that is Bidei Shemayim. Chutz Miyirat Shemayim, what they do with those gifts and deficits, that's Bidei Adam. And that's what it means, Chutz Miyirat Shemayim. Over here, we're speaking about the daily life of the individual, that all the events and all that transpires in the individual, there's a Hashkocha Pratit that dictates what's going to happen. With the exception of Tzinim and Pachim, where a person can control for that. He can dress warmly, he can protect himself, he can do things to prevent these diseases from happening from him. That is within his control. And that's not something necessarily that comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu on a daily basis, but rather is something that man himself, through his actions, allows to happen to himself. And some say that it's Olam Haba, Kedav Shimon Lakish. Darim Rav Shimon Lakish, En Geinom Latid Lavo. There's no such thing as Geinom in the future. El Kodesh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Min Artika, Shem takes out the sun from its sheath, Umakdir, and then he has it beat down. Rishayim Nidonim Ba, Rishayim suffer from that heat or from that penetration or the sun beating on them. It's a Tzadikim Mitrapim Bo. On the other hand, the Tzadikim are cured by it. Rishayim Nidonim Ba, Dichtev, as the Pasuk says, Kinei Hayom Ba Bo'er Ketanur, there's a day that's coming that's going to be hot like a furnace. And all those that are arrogant and that did things that were evil, they will be like straw or stubble. And it will burn them up. That day that comes, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there'll be no remnant of them, not a shoresh, not a root, and not a branch. Lo shoresh v'olam hazeh, no root in this world, v'lo anaf, the olam haba, no branch, the olam haba. So they're consumed by the fire. Tzadikim mitrapim ba'dichtiv, zachah lachem yirei shemi, shemesh tzedakah umarpeh, b'chnafeha. But for those that fear me, the sun of righteousness will arise and provide for them cure and healing, b'chnafeha, with its wings, or probably with the rays of the sun. V'lo od, ela shemit adnin ba. Not only are they cured by it, but they actually bask in it and enjoy it. Shenemar, ve'yitzatem upishtem. And then you will go out and jump around. You will go out and flourish and be like a youngster again, ke'glemark bake, like the young calves that are being fattened up or that are in the stalls. So you see from those psukim in Malachi that the same sun that's beating down on them is both beneficial to the tzadikim, but detrimental to the rishayim. Davar acher madagim shayam. Just like in the sea, the bigger fish swallows the smaller fish. Was it not for government authority and for the rule of law, then it would be the survival of the fittest, and whoever was bigger would just knock out their friend. That's the Mishnah Navot. Should always pray for the stability of the government. Because it was not for the rule of law and the stability of government, people would eat each other up, they would destroy each other. Okay, we'll stop here by the wide line on the top of Dalet Amud Aleph.